Like Trump? I said the same thing about the Leafs. I think a cup win in Toronto is worth two or three cup wins anywhere
else. Ryan Burke said it best. They've named schools and streets after you.
Well, isn't Mike Babcock a guy that, you know, pretty much is the gentleman if he delivers a Stanley Cup to Toronto?
I would think that that was a part of the pitch from Shanahan.
Yeah.
And part of the belief in coming here by Mike Babcock. I mean, he's won cups before. He's won gold medals. He's achieved everything you can achieve.
Yeah.
So what's the next step? Find a unique way on winning. A unique way of winning. And that's winning in a place that has seemed impossible for the better part of 50 years.
I'm sure that was part of the allure of Joe Maddon going to Chicago.
Exactly the same.
Be the manager that gets this team over the hump and actually win in this town.
Mm-hmm. And look at what Maddon did in Chicago. Now he's a legend. He's a Cub legend for the rest of time.
Yeah. The curse is over.
It's true.
Francona in Boston when they won in 04. Same thing. If you're the coach or the manager of a big market team with a ton of history that has not won anything in a long time, that's got to be a great sales pitch.
For sure.
It's got to be. Let's bring him in here. Here's the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock. How you doing, Mike?
How you doing, guys? What am I selling?
Well, we were talking about maybe the sales pitch to you before you came here from Detroit. We were talking about LeBron a couple of minutes ago, LeBron James and the allure of playing in New York and what that would mean like to win in New York as a Knick. And we brought your name up thinking...
We brought Joe Maddon up.
Joe Maddon up with the Cubs and and thinking maybe that was running through your mind, the idea of winning in Toronto and how important that would be.
No, there's no question about that was definitely part of it. Larry Tannenbaum obviously was a huge part of it. Spectacular city. But, you know, I've done a lot of things for Hockey Canada, with Hockey Canada in Canada, been with an original six franchise, knew how special that was, wanted another opportunity and felt obviously the challenge here was huge. And there was opportunity here. Now, you know, until you get it done, you're just talking about it. But we made good strides, and we're excited about our opportunity here.
How tough was it off the hop, Mike? I mean, you said the challenge was huge. I mean, you must have looked at that roster, thinking about it, saying, Jesus, we need this, that, the other. And there's a lot of things that go into it. It must have been difficult to grasp that when you took on the job.
Well, there's no question about it. And I think when you finally make the decision and then you get here and then when you're at training camp, that's when you start to get really, really worried. And you're saying to yourself, how long is this going to be? How long is this going to be? And you don't really know until you get in there and you get grinding. But, you know, the guys have done a real good job. Lou just managing the team with trades and with contracts has been absolutely unbelievable. Our scouts getting us players, the growth of the farm team and what they've been able to do, and suddenly we're a much deeper roster. Now, in saying that, there's a whole bunch of good teams in the National Hockey League, and we're all after one prize. And you know, I've been around quite a while and been with lots of good teams. It's hard to win, and you need competitive, invested people in order to do that. And sometimes it takes a little bit of heartache at playoff time to learn some of these lessons. Ideally, we're going to be one of those teams that can dig in and get to another level, because we're really going to have to if we want to have success.
A lot of times in these series, the 27 to 30-year-old stars kind of, they win against the 20 and 21-year-old stars. It's just kind of a fact in hockey. How do you change that? Is it just, I don't think there's a pump-up speech you can give the guys to turn that around. Is it just, it's up to them, you got to go out and do it?
Well, I think that's 100%. And I mean, you just look at their top line. Two of those guys are world-class players, and they're helping the other guy along the way. And they're competitive people, ultra-competitive people. So your skill is a wonderful, wonderful thing, God-given. And it gets you through a lot of times, but your will is what gets you to the next level. That's what gets your name on the cup. That's what gives you the opportunity, especially if you're an A player and you got to drive the bus. And so, I mean, you're going head-to-head every night with one of the best players in the world, and you got to outplay them. And that's just the reality of the situation. But I think also that's what makes it fun. Now, if you're our young guys who think they're great and they are really talented guys, they know now it's time to dig in, and they know there's going to be no space. And, you know, I think we've been preparing for it and saying that. when you get out there night after night and there's no room, you got to stay patient and you got to keep digging and keep grinding. And in the end, you'll get your chance. And when you get your chance, you got to make good on it. That's the way it is. But I think it's an exciting opportunity for our team. We're a much different situation than we were last year. The expectation for our group over the years is going to obviously increase, and that's where the fun is.
They got some guys on their team, the Boston Bruins, that there's no other way around it. They're a pain in the ass. David Backes, Brad Marchand, Chara is a pain in the ass. How do you approach that? Like, do you want guys to, like, you want your guys to have their emotional level raised and raised, and but you don't want to be involved with that because that's not really in the DNA of your players. So what do you do with those guys? Just get away from it?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it is for some of our guys. Leo's going to be involved like that. I think if you're one of those guys, Paulie's going to be involved. I think if that's who you are, that's what you do. The biggest thing in hockey is you can't ever take a step backwards. You got to command your share of the ice in your own way. And as long as you'll never go away, there's no issue. And people in the end, they don't bother you when they know you won't go away. What they do is if they know they can back you up an inch, they're willing to take a mile. That's just the way the sport is. That's always the way it is. Charon is going to whack you every time you get near that net. You got to decide if you want to score or not. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to score, don't go near it. We're not going to win that way, though. But if you want to score, you got to go there. And you got to pay the price to have success. But I think that's what is so exciting about the Stanley Cup playoffs. I really do. And that's why you see guys who maybe haven't been a star in all year as far as scoring stats go, suddenly they're unbelievable in the playoffs because they'll get their nose dirty. They'll get on the inside. And if we don't want to get in on the inside, you can't have success.
We're chatting with Mike Babcock, head coach of the Leafs. Game one Thursday night in Boston. It took until the end of the season to find out who you guys were actually going to play. But we've known for quite some time what position you were going to end up in. You were going to be third. You were going to start on the road. How difficult was it for you to keep the team motivated, to keep everyone in the right frame of mind, considering complacency, I'm sure, was an option?
Yeah, you know, I didn't feel it at all until the last two games. I thought the guys did a real good job. Stayed focused, good energy, lots of fun, trying to get better each and every day. I thought the last two games, the intensity at the start of both games was low. I mean, our practice was twice as fast as the last two games today. So it just goes to show you, you're only human. You know where you're at. And saying all that, not knowing who you're going to play, that, you know, we changed our mind a bunch of times, I thought for sure. Yes, I spent the whole day grinding on Tampa yesterday. I don't know what I did that for, but it's just one of those things. But, you know, you got to be careful what you wish for in playoffs. Both Tampa and Boston are real good teams, and we're just excited to have the opportunity to play them. But in saying that, we think we're a real good team. Now, we're going to find out whether we are or not, and because it's crunch time now. But we think with our depth, with our team speed, with our ability to play the game, we think we have an opportunity. And to me, one of the biggest things, you got to convince yourself first. Once you convince yourself, you got a chance to do it. But I'm a big believer our group has a lot of belief.
There was a lot of debate leading up to the final weekend of the season, on this show anyway, about whether you would end up sitting some guys, give some guys a rest, whether you should do that. You didn't decide to do that with any of your big boys. They played every single game down the stretch. Take us through that thought process and whether or not you were even thinking about giving guys nights off.
Well, what we just did is we just had 4 of 8 days off. And the way our schedule was, we had less games at the end than everyone else. We had a ton early, and then we had those breaks. And so we felt with 4 of 8 days totally away from the rink, like I've never even heard of that in hockey. I don't think it helped us play good, to tell you the truth, in our last two games. But we really felt the rest was more important. And the way our week is set up, we really went out of here today and a lot of structure stuff and worked real hard. Tomorrow's going to be special teams and face-offs, and then the following day we'll be up-tempo and we'll be ready to go. I think we've had a ton of rest. The other thing I'd say to you is being in a rhythm. And I've been through this with a lot of veteran players before, whether it be Lidstrom, whether it be Cronwell, Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and going through how you want to feel going in. You know, it was always the same thing, got to feel good, got to feel good. Now, if you're nicked or bumped or sore or anything like that, that's a totally different story. But that wasn't the case for our guys, and we tried to prepare. Part of knowing where you're going to be was you had lots of opportunity to prepare practice-wise to be rested and feeling good going in.
Mike, when you talk about rhythm, is that what the same thought process you had with Freddie Anderson, making sure that he had a little rest in the beginning of last week, and then you play him Thursday, Saturday, so it's not a massive break before Thursday night game in Boston?
That's exactly what we did. Just because if you go through the year and you look at when Freddie's been hurt or had some off spells, that's the toughest time for him. He doesn't feel like he's in a rhythm. These optional skates we've had every game, he doesn't go on. We've tried to really manage him that way, and yet he's a guy who needs to play. And so we felt it was important to give him a good break. Things hadn't gone as good for him, and then get him feeling real good going in. I really thought it was important the other night for Freddie that the guys stepped up and helped him win that last game. I think, it's an individual thing. It doesn't matter, I guess, in some ways, but having the Leafs record, I think, is a big deal. I really do, as far as goalie wins. I thought his performance, I mean, I don't know what we were doing in the first period the other night against Montreal, but I thought he was good. In Jersey, they had shots, but they didn't have chances. They had won in the first. But the other night in Montreal, I mean, we were passing it to him in the slot there just to warm him up, to make him feel good. I guess I don't know what we were doing exactly. But what I felt was that Freddie felt good leaving the game. He had played two games, got a good rest, he practiced good today. You know this better than anybody. You need goaltending at playoff time, and we have a goaltender. And we have a goalie that's loved by the team. And the guys felt great for Freddie the other night, and I think that's an important thing.
Well, it wasn't only him that made history over the weekend. You guys set a new franchise record for points in a season with 105, and when you consider what we were talking about when you first came on 2 years ago, you guys were dead last in the league, and now you're setting franchise records. I mean, is there anything in particular you can point to that you look back on over the past 2 years and say, this is why we managed to do this so quickly?
Well, obviously, I mean, good players. I mean, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, Matthews, but real good depth players. I mean, Hyman and Brown. You look at them, even the influx of this year, we basically got the opportunity to trade for three players in Dermott, in Kapanen, in Janssen. I mean, there's good depth there. And then the guys, veteran guys that have been here a long time, like Bozak and Van Riemsdyk and Komarov. I don't know who I left out here. I don't like to leave anyone. Nazem Kadri, what he's turned, he's back-to-back 30-goal years. I mean, the guys have embraced wanting to be good. Our guys think they're good. They are good. And you don't get 105 points. You don't get 49 wins by accident. You do it right on a daily basis with enough depth, and you get to feel good about yourself. And our guys are proud to be Leafs. Like, this is an unbelievable city. I mean, you guys live here. The hockey here is like nothing I've ever seen. I've been to the Stanley Cup Final in Anaheim. I've been to it in Detroit, original 16. There's nothing that compares to this. Absolutely nothing. So to be good in this town, I think, is a special thing for our guys, and they're embracing it.
Obviously a very emotional weekend, considering what happened on Friday night in Saskatchewan. And you spoke openly about your own emotions on Saturday, and I thought the Leafs, I thought Winnipeg, I thought Leafs throughout the league did a great job of paying respect before the game. Take us through your mindset once the puck dropped. I mean, could you focus on the game, or was Humboldt popping into your mind from time to time?
Well, they kept putting all the money being raised on. Every time they looked for a replay, they kept putting the thing up. It was hard to get it out of your mind and out of your head, and you should. You know, it's been interesting. I was on a bunch of calls again today. One of my buddy's son was on that bus, and, he tells the story. His son tells him, he's alive. He says, who wakes up unconscious, and the kid next to him screamed. He said, don't worry, help's coming. Well, that kid never made it. And then he tells a story about, I was on the phone with him for 4 minutes the other day, and he was telling me, his son told him the week before, Dad, this is the best group of guys I ever played with, greatest group of guys I've ever been involved with. He tells a story about arriving at the accident 2 hours later, and the kids are all gone, and they're in that church together. Who's ever there, they're praying and crying. And then he gets the call from the hospital, his kid's alive, and he says he doesn't even feel like he can celebrate. It's been unbelievable. I talked to the coach's wife the other day, you know, she's got two beautiful boys and, yeah, no husband. I mean, you go on and on, and you watch the celebration there of life there last night. I mean, all these things. I don't know what you can say or what you can do, but I think it's important in the hockey community. We do everything we can to reach out, put our arms around people. The financial support's important, but I think the love is just so important. And, you know, I can't imagine losing a child, honestly. I just can't. I don't know how you'd ever recover, and I don't know if you would recover. But we're obviously praying for these people.
Yeah, I think you speak for everyone when you say that. It's been really tough 72 hours, and you guys obviously have an opportunity coming up. The whole league does. Once you guys start getting into the playoffs, I think a lot of Canadians are looking forward to getting focused on something else, at least for a short period of time. So we appreciate you joining us today, as always. Best of luck come Thursday night.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Hold up.
There's Mike Babcock from the Toronto Maple Leafs, game one Thursday night in Boston. And he's a Saskatchewan boy himself, and you can tell he's emotional about it. And I mean, that's a tough story. And that's so true. I mean, I couldn't imagine if you were one of the lucky parents where your kid survived.
Yeah, and you're standing next to somebody.
I don't know what you say. What do you do? I don't even know how you'd handle that.
Yeah.
And then you get this just heartbreaking story today about the misidentification where all I could think about is, like, both families. One thinks their kid is gone, the other one thinks their kid is alive, and now it flips, but
and
I don't know.
You can't blame, like, from what I understand and what they were saying, like, it's not like it wasn't cut and dry. Like, there was
it wasn't malpractice because they were just winging it, and
no,
you know,
like,
obviously
like, that speaks to them having a tough enough time trying to identify people because of the magnitude of the accident.
That's the carnage we're talking about.
Yeah,
you couldn't even identify your own kid.
And I think we were talking off air, like, all the kids had dyed their hair, like, they're, you know, if they're 6'1" with blonde hair, well, there's probably 10 of the kids, you know, that had that. Like, it just, like I said at the start of the show, so many different layers to this that it's heartbreaking. You hear a story like that where Mike has reached out to a couple people. I'm sure he's tied to. I heard a few heartbreaking stories over the weekend, too, from my buddies back home. And it's just, they're going to pour out, and it doesn't make anybody else's stories worse or better than the others. It's just, there's so many of them and so many different strands. You heard the emotion in Chaser's voice, too. It hits home with all of us because we've all been on that bus. All of us.
Yeah, it does, not only in Saskatchewan, you're right.
No,
and that's the infrastructure of junior hockey throughout the country.
Yeah.
So everyone, if you played, if you know anybody that played, and let's be honest, in this country, everyone has a connection to a story like that. You didn't have to be on the buses to understand the sanctity of the buses, what the bus means, and the buses continue to drive on. You know, the CHL playoffs are continuing right now.
Yep.
Like, so all weekend, there were buses driving all over highways throughout the country.
Yep.
And that's not going to stop.